The Revelation chapter 13, first 10 verses. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power, and his seat, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In the chapter 12, verse 17, the angry dragon makes war with the seed of the heavenly Jerusalem, the remnant still in the world but not of the world, the keepers of our Father's commandments and the bearers of his Son's testimony. Studying this chapter, we might perceive some of our enemy's crafty strategy used against us. Verse 1. John stands on the seashore. A monster with 7 heads and 10 crowned horns rises out of the sea. The heads have the blasphemous name. In Genesis 22, Father Abraham obeyed our God's calling and, by God's grace, passed the great test that no human father could complete in human wisdom and power alone. By Abraham's offering Isaac upon our Lord's altar, God prepared Abraham for the promise of a unique blessing. Our God multiplies the seed of the faithful to become as many as the sand upon the seashore. In Joshua 11, verses 1 through 4, the host of the remnant's enemy is also as the sand upon the seashore and well armed. Our great God of Israel destroyed the enemy and gave victory to the remnant. In Judges 7, our Lord leads Gideon against the enemies of the remnant. In the verse number 12, the enemies are as many as the seashore sand. But the desire of our Heavenly Father is accomplished again. His remnant is granted a glorious victory. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 15, again the enemy is as numerous and armed with technically advanced armor. God's apparent minority is crowned with victory once more. In 2 Samuel, the rebels are as the sand of the sea, but they failed miserably. In Jeremiah 5, verse 22, we are admonished to honor our Almighty God and trust Him. He is the one that limits the powerful waves by the helpless sand. So great is the wisdom and might of our God and Savior. In Jeremiah 33, verses 6 through 22, our God brings back the captivity and restores His grace to His penitent people to make them numberless as the sand upon the seashore is. All of this only by His grace. In Hosea chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, we see the calamity of disobedient and the abundance of God's grace upon them that turn back from transgressions to our merciful and forgiving God. In Romans chapter 9, verse 26 and on, the writer is expounding this prophecy and closing with the verse number 33, Christ's disciples shall not be ashamed. John belongs to the sea, sand on the shore. John is one of the blessed, watching the current vision of the revelation from the angle of the redeemed and relating to us the pertaining application. John belongs not to the sea or to the land. He is one of Abraham's seed, blessed in Christ and multiplied as the sea sand. A monster arises out of the sea. Isaiah told us, in chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, the Lord brings upon Judah a surging flood, the king of Assyria in his entire might. In chapter 57, verse 20, the wicked are like the troubled sea, restless, casting up mire and filth. In Psalm 74, verse 13, we are told that God devised the sea by his strength. He breaks the heads of the dragons. With all Christ's redeemed, John is standing on that divide between the sea and the land. He beholds the monster come out of the sea. In the chapter 12, verses 3 and 4, we see the devil intending to devour the expected child. Is that Satan personally, or one of his evil creations? This is not a meaningful question. It is satanic. Here, in chapter 13, verse 1, we see a monster that accumulated all destructive wickedness he possibly was able to gather, 7 heads and 10 horns. This monster is motivated and driven by his ambition and lust to be as satanic as he can be. The sea is the restless humanity. And this beast is formed by the dragon's influence. Human masses, carried by satanic lust and deceit, form a system of tyranny, slavery, and cruel oppression. The rulers are not ignorant of their injustice and strive to secure their reign by forming classes, massive armies, and strong police forces in order to keep the masses subjected. The rulers promote religions favoring the ruling class. Slaves are forced to live like, or worse than, domestic animals, without hope of freedom. The dragon, in chapter 12, verse 3, has 7 heads with crowns and 10 horns. This beast, in this chapter 13, has also 7 heads, but the crowns are on the 10 horns. The heads are named with blasphemy. One kind of blasphemy is ascribing God's attributes to any creature, Luke 5:21. Another kind despises his authority, Luke 22:65. Satan designed the 7 heads with the names of blasphemy to offend God in every possible way by their godless self-exaltation. This governing system demands full control of its subjects, soul and body. The gospel proclaiming only one God and one Savior is a thorn in the flesh of this system. Such a satanic system will produce rulers to perpetuate tyranny and godlessness. The beast is mingled. Verse 2. Besides the 7 heads and 10 horns, his body is like leopard's body, with bear's feet and lion's mouth. It is not clear if all the heads had this lion's mouth or just one mouth, but it's a monster anyway. The beast gives impression of a very evil domain, an empire of wickedness. Leopard is a swift predator. Bear is a strong and fierce fighter. Lion's jaws are a neck breaker. The beasts that Daniel has seen in his chapter 7 together might compose this one. All the systems of tyranny, classes, and slavery are satanic. All the empires we read about in the scriptures and the ones we observe today have more or less of this monster's character. The dragon gives to this system satanic power, devil's throne, and authority with massive godlessness and corruption. Satan is ruling through this system, but the true God sets the limits. Verse 3. One of the seven heads had a terminal wound, yet the beast survives and recovers. After the awful defeat in the Red Sea, Exodus chapter 14 verses 21 through 31, Egypt continued as an empire for a long time. After the Assyrian army was destroyed in 2 Kings chapter 19 verse 35, the empire continued for a time. The gospel destroys all idols. Satan influences his slaves to continually produce false gospel and idols named by the names of faithful apostles and disciples. The evil spirit attempts similar changes in the experience of all believers. In Luke chapter 11, verses 24 through 26, the devil regained his former victim and managed to enslave him in much worse slavery. The dragon's influence is clear and often obvious in the world around us. Some nations are sometimes fascinated and at other times frightened by the false power of darkness. Our relationship with our Lord is more important for our spiritual welfare and progress than anything the enemy is doing or will do. Our defeated adversary cannot escape limits imposed by our master. In the end, all of the wickedness will honor God in God's severe but righteous judgments. All the faithful that here and now trust and obey our Savior and Lord to the end of our journey are victorious in Christ now and end up in glory. Verse 4. The world worship the dragon as the power giver to the beast, their governing system. They worship the beast, saying, "Who is like the beast, and who is able to make war against him?" The dragon's deceptive power of darkness is illustrated in Genesis chapters 6 through 11. These chapters include the deadly wound of one among the seven heads of the dragon, his surviving the wound, and his recovery to continue doing evil. God's grace to Noah and the family, the great flood, the destruction of the wicked, sinful, rebellious world, the new beginning, the development of the new world. I see it all as a deadly wound to one of dragon's seven heads, Noah's negligent drink of new wine and Ham's sin showed the enemy alive and active. Building the tower of human self-exaltation proved Satan very influential. The calling of Abram reveals our God's amazing grace. In this chapter 13 verse 4, sinful, idolatrous worship of the dragon and his deceptive designs is not an adoration of reverence and gratitude. It's a worship in fear, filling the void of their soul with noise. Blinded by sin and sinful ambitions, sinners feel not desire to seek and receive our Father's grace in Christ, the only Savior. Carnal man suffers devil's wickedness, but fears leaving his evil empire and asking for asylum in the city of refuge, where God's Lamb's redemption and Christ's deliverance is, city of peace. Unwilling and unable to see our King Emmanuel's power to deliver souls, the carnal man believes Satan's lie that he, the carnal man, must cleave to sin and toil in the sin yoke of his slavery. By God's grace, some slaves flee from death. verse 5. To the beast is given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power to continue 42 months. Who gives this cruel brute such a big mouth to speak great things and blasphemies? We, the carnal, sinful, fearful little Adam's children, we did that. If we live in Christ free from power of sin, the Lamb is victorious in us and through us, and this puffing enemy would be defeated like a child's pierced balloon. Only our Father's grace in Christ delivers us from our doubts and fears. Only the Spirit of our Savior and Lord gives us strength to rebel against the great rebel and his devices, and to strive for faith and loyalty to the faithful Son of God. This blasphemer goes on for 42 months, 3 years and a half. Here we are reminded about the 42 stops or steps from the slavery in Egypt to the entry into their promised land. 3 years and a half of Christ's testimony from the baptism in Jordan to his open, empty tomb and the angelic proclamation, "He is risen." And the same time of the gospel nourishment, chapter 12. Verse 14, until our Lord spells the end of sin and woe and proclaims the final judgment, this monster beast is going to speak great things and blasphemies against our Heavenly Father and His only begotten Son. As long as there is a remnant saved by grace, we need the nourishment in the Spirit of Christ our Savior. If we are here in hundreds or thousands, or only two, three, or even one alone, when we are gathered in our Lord's name, He is in our midst, in our hearts, and in our daily walk. He is our bread of heaven, our fountain of living water, and we are the souls He redeemed to keep His testimony, to be His light and salt. Verse 6, His lion's mouth is open wide in blasphemy against God, His name, His tabernacle, and against the heavenly citizens. Every beastly system, pretending fellowship and friendship, or manifesting fierce hatred, is against God and all that is marked as God's property and possession. In Christ we are safe, although we suffer persecution. The enemy blasphemes in two ways: denies our Father's authority, power, and grace, and ascribes the divine attributes to himself, a miserable creature, or to any other created being. The designer of this wickedness is Satan himself in the deceitful conversation with Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, verses 4 and 5. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, Pharaoh, the emperor of Egypt, reacts in a similar manner to our Lord's request for Israel. In Daniel 3, verses 14 and 15, Nebuchadnezzar speaks in a tone of blasphemy after he had acknowledged earlier in the chapter 2, verse 47, that our Lord is a God of gods and the Lord of kings. In our time, the 20th century, and a few more years, some of the so-called sciences are blasphemies without direct reference to our God's name. The so-called evolution, opposing the Bible testimony concerning God's creation, is in the same spirit of the dragon. Some interpretations of this book, the Revelation, are in the spirit of blasphemy. It's very awful just to think that someone would sincerely believe that the Almighty and His Son make mistakes. But let us look into our own life and spiritual walk before our Lord. If we believe in correct applications and interpretations of the gospel, then we are confident the Lord is watching over us, protecting and guiding us, But when there is a threat of suffering for the gospel testimony, we are filled with anxiety. Am I giving signals to the enemy that my great Creator, my Savior, is not great at all? Are my manners telling the world around me that my doubts and fears are the main part of my testimony, and all my praise and adoration is a facial makeup? It is easier to see inconsistency in the life of others than in me. Since we know our enemy's devices, let us pray to defend ourselves by strong faith and confidence in our Savior and Lord. James chapter 4 verse 7 is instructing us to submit ourselves to God, to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. The light of the truth in Christ destroys the darkness of deception. The Lamb of God is the Lord. The beast blasphemes our God's tabernacle. All that is holy, he is targeted by the devil. All that is godless, he is exalting. When we live a godly life, when we despise vanity and pride, when we are separated from the world of sin and darkness, we are a city on a hill, and our Lord is our strong defense. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. In the minds of this world, Satan would deny the very existence of the heavenly host. No wonder. He is an outcast from their realm. He will do all that is in his power to victimize the heavenly citizens in this world. When we are in Christ, he, our Savior, is suffering with us, and we are safe, secured, and victorious. Christ is the Lord. We know the devil is as a roaring lion. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. But he is our defeated adversary. We must not help him by our fears and anxiety. Let us be sober in Christ's spirit. Is it easier to suffer a stroke for weeks or months, fall into a coma, and finally die, or suffer martyr's death following in the steps of our Savior? Verse 7. To this beast was given to make war against the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over the entire humanity. When we are in Christ, our ever-victorious Lord, we are victorious in him. We cannot bear the burdens in our own power. We are not the leader. We are the leader's followers. He told us, "Worry not, fear not." Matthew chapter 10 verses 25, 28 and 31 and chapter 28 verse 5. Abram's hope was withering. Genesis chapter 15 verse 2. Moses was frustrated at times. Numbers chapter 11 verse 15. Elijah was tired. 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 4. But none of the faithful turned away from our Lord God. None turned after the vain, man-made idols designed by Satan. How then can the beast overcome the saints? I think these, quote, saints, closed quote, are recorded for our warning and admonishment in chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, and also verses 20 through 23. And in the chapter 3 verse 1 and the verses 15 through 17. In the chapter 3 verse 1, the angel of the church has the name of a living but no sign of life in him. Surrender to the enemy is an awful predicament. Whenever we compromise with Satan, we are deceived, we are defeated, we suffer heavy loss. Christ is victorious. No saint living in Christ's spirit is forever defeated. The beast has his power in the darkness, but he craves to have power over the saints. When the compromising saints entangle in the devil's traps, they give him the power over the entire humanity. So sinful, awful, and condemnable is willful disobedience. Verses 8 and 9. All earthly-minded men worship the beast. Their names are not in the book of life. This book belongs to the Lamb of God. This Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. I remember a believer talking to me with choking emotions and tears about their monarch. This person talked about their king's death. I have never seen her tearful talking about our Lord's suffering or about his people's suffering. Verse number 8 is a signal. Beware of worldliness. It is idolatry. Our citizenship is in Christ, our true and everlasting heavenly King. Let us remember our Lord's answer to Elijah. 7,000 saved. 1 Kings chapter 19 verse 18. If Satan tells us that the whole world is on his side, we answer that we would rather be with Noah in the ship of faith and salvation in Christ our Lord. When we trust and obey our Master, we know our names are in his book of life. We know this because he tells us that in his truth. Luke chapter 10 verse 20. Let us continue in prayers to our Father for good hearing. If we do not hear his word sound and clear, we are too far from the source and too close to the world of darkness and confusion. We do honor earthly government, but for our Lord's sake and for our gospel testimony. But we worship only our Heavenly Father. Verse 10, who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. Murderers shall be slain. Saints are faithful in suffering. Our Lord Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 verse 39, if blind lead the blind, they both fall into the ditch. It is not possible for a man to misguide other people and to keep himself on the path of truth and salvation in Christ our Lord. It is impossible for a murderer to escape our God's justice and judgment. No man can earn redemption or purchase liberty for his own soul. Christians suffering persecution already live in the portals of heaven, but bloody tyrants live in the gateway of hell. In Luke chapter 12 verse 4 and on, our Lord Jesus reveals the gospel truth. The persecuted believers need not be afraid. They are in the fierce battle for a time. The wicked rulers have strong reason to fear. Their judgment, God's judgment against their wickedness, is forever. But often their down payment is sooner than they would expect. Daniel chapter 5 verse 30 and Acts chapter 12 verse 23. Two kings, Belshazzar and Herod, did not plan their death. A cruel regime persecuting God's children is on the path of God's judgment. Suffering Christians are on the way of salvation in Christ. It is in the power of our Lord to order the end of cruel tyranny and to bring swift retribution upon the wicked even in this time on the earth. I watched sudden ruins of some wicked rulers. Regimes and governments feared in the rest of the world were removed by the invisible power of our Almighty Creator without wars, without, quote, natural, close quote, disasters known in the rest of the world. They just fell apart and passed from present time into history. No human skills, no military power, nothing could save them. every violation of our God's precepts and ordinances is under condemnation of His divine justice and judgment. Woe to every soul that disregards God's call to repentance and salvation by grace in Christ His Son. Blessed are all who trust and obey our Redeemer. No sinner that casts himself at the feet of God's Son in sincere repentance is rejected. No disciple of Christ our Lord is ever forsaken. He, our Savior and Lord, is always with us.